tonight on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. From the Indigo Girls, we have Amy Ray. And to talk all things Chicago haunting, author and musician Adam Selzer, with Chicago Tribune cartoonist Scott Stantis, and so much more. But now, live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, we are broadcasting live. And I'll be
It is Thursday night, and we are so thrilled that you are hanging out with us on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea, I don't know if I've ever told you, I used to take long car trips with my mom to a yoga retreat in the Adirondacks.
Uh-huh.
And I would play Indigo Girls the entire way.
Oh,
and of course,
awesome.
Both incredible artists, the incredible voices, great lyrics. But
beautiful
every time,
music.
Yes, and every time my mom heard one particular vocalist, my mom would go, "Oh my God. This woman has the voice of an angel." And that was Amy Ray, who's on the line with us right now. Hi, Amy. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing great.
Wonderful to have you on the show.
Great.
And you are going to be at the Old Town School of Music?
Yeah, I am. I have a solo record out. It's a country record. It's my second country record. It's Americana country, kind of southern music. And I just do a thing on the side, and I have a band that goes around with me that is really good, pedal steel and keyboards and, you know, the whole works, just a country band. So, yeah, we're going to play the Old Town School, and that's going to be on November 15th, and, man, I think it's already sold out. But,
it is. I'm pretty sure it is. Unless you can, you know, if you know people and you want to shell out a little extra, you could go see Amy. Amy, that venue, I don't know if you've been there or not. I love Old Town School of Music. It's a great venue. It's a smaller venue. Do you prefer the smaller venues over? I mean, I know you guys have sold out the Chicago Theater. You've sold out so many venues here in Chicago. But this is kind of near and dear to our heart because it is a smaller venue. Do you like those just as much?
Oh, I love them. I mean, and Emily and I have played at the Old Town School before, too. So we enjoy it. And for me, you know, when I do my solo thing, it's smaller venues anyway.
So, sure.
which is, but I love it. I actually really, and Emily and I love it. We love the intimacy of it. And when I'm on the road with my solo stuff, it's pretty sweaty and honky-tonky, and so it's really fun. But this place is, I mean, it's famous and stands on its own. It's like a really incredible, intimate kind of listening crowd, and you know, it's a privilege to play there, actually. So we're pretty excited about it.
I didn't realize until she started talking that I was going to have a tough time doing this interview because I'm like, I have goosebumps.
I know, we're geeking out just a little. It's okay, though. We don't do it often.
The only time I've ever stood in line for a CD was for you and Emily at the Borders on Michigan Avenue in Chicago.
Yeah.
I still have the CD. I've been to so many of the shows. I have to say, you guys always just absolutely are such crowd pleasers. I just saw you last year at Ravinia as well. I mean, there's so much glee that comes with the music that you guys bring. How much does the audience impact, you know, your, you know, sort of zest for performing?
Because
we sing at the top of our lungs. We sing at the top of our lungs at your shows.
it's huge. I mean, it's what's made our whole career, our audiences, and the singing and the support and the listening. I mean, everybody, our audience is great. There's a lot of listeners and singers and dancers, and it just feels very engaged. So we've been lucky, you know, and it's really made our whole career, and it's what makes, I mean, it wouldn't be, I don't know, it just wouldn't be that fun to just go out if it's a very honest experience. I'll say that, like, we make a new set list every night, and and we, you know, just try to just really be present. And so it's, you know, the audience is what it's all about.
Your new album is inspired by traditional country, southern rock, mountain music, gospel, bluegrass, a little bit of everything all put together, Amy. Are they your own compositions? And tell us a little bit about some of the compilations.
Yeah, it's all my own writing. I write country stuff on the side, and this is my second effort. This is called Holler, and it's with a band that I've toured with for about 4 or 5 years off and on after I made my first country record, which was Goodnight Tender. And, you know, they're just really, they're influenced by everything from Alan Lomax field recordings to Steve Earle to Lucinda to Dolly Parton to Hank Williams to, you know, and I like punk rock too, so there's a little bit of that attitude thrown in there. And this record we recorded live to tape in North Carolina, and we had a horn in the string section as well, so it's pretty rambunctious record, and it's super fun to play. I mean, I just love to play that kind of music. I'm from the South, and it's kind of in my bones, so I come by it, you know, just in an honest way, I guess.
When you were little, what kind of music really spoke to you? What got you moving?
When I was really little, my older sister had all those records from Woodstock, and then a bunch of like Allman Brothers records.
So
it was like either Southern rock or hippie music, you know, one or the other. And then I discovered punk rock, and I mean, I tell you, the one label, the Chicago label that's really moved me is Bloodshot Records. It's one of my favorite labels, and that record really inspired a lot of what I do now, and just all those folks that are on that label and just the way it's run and everything. So, and Punk Planet was a great Chicago magazine as well. So, you know, I'm shouting out for Chicago.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Waco Brothers are on that label too. We love them. Kelly Hogan. Uh-huh. I mean, there's some great tunes and great artists.
From Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to make you feel good. I'm sure you're going to be humble about this, I know. But, I mean, just the young musicians, even coming out now, who look to you, both you and Emily, and you and your new band too, Amy, just as inspiration and kind of role models and mentors.
I mean, we don't know. We feel like we just feel like we're part of a whole, like, community of people, and all the people that came before us and helped us, and, you know, and we're big fans of other people's music, and so we always try to take people on the road to open for us that are new artists or like up and coming or something that we're excited about. So, I mean, it's a source of inspiration. So while it may seem like mentoring kind of goes for us mentoring somebody else, it's a two-way thing, you know. So we get mentored as well, and when there's, you know, younger musicians coming up, there's a lot of that they know that we don't, you know. So like, they may be more adept at social media or, you know, certain technology that we don't know as much about, and so we learn from them as well. And that's kind of the way it works in the industry. It's always worked that way where we come from in Atlanta. It's a community like that. It's an ecosystem, and you nurture it, and it helps you, and you help it.
How much have you, you know, really been able to sort of step back and look at how much has changed since you and Emily? I mean, I know you've known each other since you were kids, but it must be sort of something to take in, how much things have changed, and perhaps maybe even the impact that you've had. Have you been able to appreciate that, I hope?
Well, we look at everything from, like, that we've made a lot of advances, and, you know, in the queer world, there's a lot of great things, and I think just people coming up have more of a comfortableness with everything and an acceptance. And I think environmentalism, we've worked a lot on those issues with Native American environmental stuff. And, I mean, we see little battles that we've helped to win along the way, but mostly we're just amplifiers for the voices of the people that are in the trenches working. So, you know, we feel like we're part of a big force that's kind of trying to change the paradigm. And we take pleasure in small victories, for sure. You know, but it's not like a pat on our back. It's more like, yes, that was great, you know, and it feels good, and it energizes you, and it makes you want to keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, it's like a team, you know. And I mean, we really are. I'm not just, that's really how we feel. So it's, I mean, we definitely take time and contemplate how far, you know, the women's movement's come, or, you know, like, we look at, like, the girls' rock schools and rock camps and everything that's happening. And, you know, just from a feminist perspective, we look at that. And then we look at just music in general, you know, and how open it is now. And everybody listens to all different kinds of music, and it's so cool, you know. And that's like a lot of stuff that we feel excited about. So there's a lot of positive things that have changed. And then there's a lot of work that needs to be done, you know, and we know that. So we just keep, you know, trying to keep our heads up, you know.
I love all the work that you've done. In addition to the music, of course, you mentioned some gay rights, Honor the Earth. I know that's one of your foundations as well. You're also real involved with independent artist careers too, which I think is wonderful. You were a judge for the Independent Music Awards. I mean, that's, you're always trying to mold and shape, I guess, the next generations.
Well, I have an indie label that I started in '89, and I mean, I'm not putting any new artists out right now because I'm just doing my own stuff. But for a while, I put out about 60 records on it, and it was just because it was a lot of bands that inspired me, to be honest with you.
That's great.
And they didn't have records out, so I wanted a record, you know, and I felt like, well, this is the way to do it. So it's, I mean, to be honest, like whenever you put stuff in, you get more back, and it's just a good lesson for everybody to remember, you know, and a reason to be engaged, because it feels better, and to live like that, it just feels better.
I'm just thinking of all the times I, you know, was trying to get through something, and so much of your music really helped me. I wonder how often you have those exchanges with people who tell you how much your music has meant to them, because I want to speak for a lot of them on their behalf right now.
I mean, when that happens, it feels so good, and we do have those exchanges often, because after the show, we'll talk to people quite often out by the bus or whatever, and people will tell us stories about, or get letters, and it's really inspiring, but we'll get a letter from somebody who's like, you know, I joined the Peace Corps because of you, or I did this, yep. Like some great, like now they're like a teacher or something, and they're doing all this noble, amazing work, and that is really amazing to us. Like it feels good, and it feels like, you know what, it connects everyone, and it makes it feel like there's a tapestry that we're part of, and it, that just feels good when you live and you see that, and it, and when someone reminds you of that after a show, it makes you feel better, you know, when you're tired or you're homesick, you know, and like you miss your family, and you just sort of like, it just makes you understand, like, there's a bigger reason for doing things beyond applause and getting paid. It's all these stories that you hear.
Amy, how has the record industry changed? I know there's a long way to go, but for women, as far as, yeah. I mean, I know your first demo was 81, first solo album 2001, but since the 80s, how, for better or for worse, how has the record industry changed with regard to women and advancing women?
Well, it's better. Mm-hmm. I mean, we still have there's still a long way to go, and I think there's a lot of gatekeepers that are still making it hard for women. But now we've got so much technology and access and the DIY movement is kind of back. So it gives women a chance at distribution and resources and just basically having access, I guess, you know, and so that has changed a lot. And that's just technology has helped that. And a lot has changed with just how people see women in the industry, too. And I think as more young people come up that are feminist, or girls that are in high school now, that they don't see the barriers that we saw. You know, there may be some barriers there, but they don't take no for an answer, because they're taught to stand up for themselves. And they go to these girls' rock camps where they're empowered. And I think that that's helping to change everything. And I think it's changing things to have women in sound engineers and women guitar techs and women who do lighting and you know, gaffing and everything to do with big tours, stage building. And so all those jobs, there's more and more women in those jobs. And I've seen that change. And I think there's a lot of women now who are my age who are starting organizations or trying to mentor young women coming up, and that's a shift, you know, that's a very important thing, like that is happening more and more, and it's creating a great opportunity for more women. And I do think that, you know, I have a niece she's 20 now, and she's a singer-songwriter in Atlanta, and, you know, it's just her perspective and her friends, like, it's just a wholly different perspective. I mean, even people who I know now that are in their 30s have a different perspective, and are more, the guys that I know that are musicians, they're more feminist. They don't even think about whether you're a woman or a man. They just look at you as a person, and they appreciate music no matter what. And that wasn't like that in my age group. I mean, we really, you know, we had to fight a lot for it. But it's okay, because it was fun, you know, to fight for it. And I don't mind it. But now, like, when I talk to my boyfriends that are in their 30s that are musicians, they just don't see things in that. They're so feminist, and it's so great, you know, and they don't worry about what demographic Emily and I have in our audience or any of that kind of stuff. They don't worry that it doesn't look cool to say that they're a fan of the Indigo Girls. And so that, you know, so I know there's hope, you know, coming up on the horizon because of things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Amy, I have to ask you a favor. I want to be, I hate to be greedy with your time, but, and I know it's late, but would you mind holding on for a segment? I want to play a little bit from Holler, and we've taken a break here. Do you mind holding on for a quick segment after this?
I don't mind at all.
I put her on the spot. She could say no, and then be like, well, what am I supposed to do? We're on the air.
I don't mind. I'm gonna go to bed right after this.
All right.
Awesome.
We're talking to Amy Ray. She's going to be appearing with her band Amethyst Kia at Old Town School of Music. We think it's sold out, but the album Holler is available as a 14-song CD through all digital providers and as a double LP. Three sides of music with a four side featuring a special lullaby. You've got to check it out. We're talking to Amy Ray. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Oh, this feels good. Amy, during the break, I would say it was a pretty high-pitched scream, Andrea.
It was. I had to take my earbuds out.
I apologize to anybody who might have heard me scream through these windows. And we checked online, and there are several seats, just a handful of seats left.
Literally, there's a handful. I don't want to say how many.
Yeah,
six.
Handful.
But I said, Amy, I went, oh, my God, Patty, we should go. If there's a Blackhawks team, we should go because there's two front row seats available. There are two seats in the very last row in the balcony, but I don't care.
Well, and here's
I'm going to buy
them. I can get you seats.
That's what I said during the break.
Well, I had a bigger question. But first of all, everyone, for those last few seats left, you can go to oldtownschool.org. And for the album Holler, you can find that anywhere through your digital providers. But if you happen to be coming in on we would love to have you in studio if you would join us in at WGN Radio if you happen to have time any moment that you're in town. We would. But you don't have to answer us now. We'll get in touch with your people. I have to ask. I mean, I know that you probably have your babies. What song do you just never get tired of playing?
With the Indigo Girls or with Amy?
Anything, really? No, I mean, because you've done so much work. I know that there you must be ones where you're like you don't even get tired of it. Not that you get tired of anything.
Well, I mean, I guess with Emily, believe it or not, we played this song all the time, Galileo, but I really never get tired of it.
Oh, God, I love it.
So, and for me, I guess, like, I never get tired of, I don't know, because I just put out this new record, so
hoping, you haven't had time to get tired of anything.
I'm hoping I don't get tired of any of it.
Right, well, go ahead.
Who's someone you... Okay, so on Holler, there's cameos by Vince Gill, Brandi Carlile, Freedom Singers. Who's someone you really want to work with that you haven't had a chance to yet?
There's a couple people. There's a guy, Andre from Outkast.
Oh, yeah.
I love him. Mm. I really do love, like, how... I wish I could do, like, a thing with him where he would... like produce something or something, you know.
Yeah.
I would like to work with, like, you know, Yellow Wolf. It's another hip hop artist. There's like some hip hop artists that I think would be interesting to work with. But I would just die and go to heaven if I could sing with Dolly Parton ever in my lifetime.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Maybe just watch her and sit in the same room with her and have her sing for me. That would be great.
How has that not happened yet?
Yeah.
Who do we talk to? Michael, get on it.
I've met her. I haven't sung with her yet. Yeah.
Yeah, those were the two concerts I went to. It was Dolly Parton also played Ravinia last year, and Indigo Girls.
Mm.
Both incredible shows. I was just thinking how much I know that Closer to Fine becomes almost a rally cry for so many of your audiences, and there is just so much work that you've done that as I mentioned before, speaks to the hearts and goes to the soul of so many people, and I really can't thank you enough for showing up all the time and bringing it.
Oh, well, man, I mean, we've had a great career. It's like, how can you know what I mean? It's like, of course, that's what you do.
And you know what? And your fans are, so, I mean, yeah. Your fans are just so, I think anyway, loyal and have just been following you guys throughout the years, too. And now new fans, too, because, I mean, face it, you know, we're having kids.
Our audience is amazing. It's like the length of our career is purely due to our audience. And so not only is our core audience really loyal, but they pass the music down to their kids and their younger siblings. And they've always when we started, we were dependent on word of mouth because we were struggling to get people to listen to us, you know, it all was word of mouth and like bootleg tapes and like people passing the music around, mixtapes, all that stuff. That was really that was it for us. That's what made it happen. That and college radio and community radio when we were young, you know. And then we just little by little, you know, built it. But it, I mean, we've been at it since we were 16 years old, you know. So that's a long time to be with, sing with the same person. And the reason is because we have such a great audience that it keeps us to, you know, even, it just makes us realize what we're doing. We're lucky, you know, and so we don't like screw it up, you know, with each other and blow it all up by ego and stuff, because we look at our audience and we think, like, how lucky can you be to have this for so long? And it's all about your audience. You can't just, if you don't have an audience, you can't do it for this. I mean, you can do it for this long, but you'll be sitting in your house just singing in your basement with each other, which is fine, but it's not the same.
But that's, you know, that speaks to your character and Emily's character and your longevity as well, too. Because, I mean, think about it. How many bands, male, female, how many bands have you heard, they break up, there's creative differences, there's arguing, there's egos, and then get back together. Arguing. You know, you guys have had just such a wonderful career together. And so I think that speaks to both of you.
Yeah. I mean, I think because we grew up together and our parents, you know, knew each other and all of our friends knew each other and our siblings did, that we couldn't really, we weren't really allowed to mess it up. I mean, seriously, like, it's like that kind of thing where it's like my dad, he's passed now, but he would always say to me when I did a solo project, he'd be like, I really love what you're doing with your solo music, but don't forget about harmony.
Right.
And I was like, Dad, don't worry. I'm never going to stop singing with Emily. You know, it's so funny because he was, yeah, he kept me in line, you know, like he made me understand all the time. But this is the bigger thing is what you're doing with Emily. It's always going to be the bigger thing and the more special thing. And he's totally right. I never forget it. Emily doesn't forget it, but we just do solo stuff on the side to like get our yayas out, you know, just have a good time.
That's great.
Well, it is. It has been a gift to all of us that you guys have worked so hard and really brought so much love to your fans. And so I just, again, I'm going to put it out there. If you happen to be able to stop by, I'm not going to beg, but I do want to thank you so much for joining us.
We'll stop by sometime. Me and Emily will for sure.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, for sure.
Everyone, check out Holler. Amy Ray and her band Amethyst Kia will be at the Old Town School of Music on Thursday, November 15th. You can go to oldtownschool.org for those. Just a few tickets left.
Yeah, and we'll be in the balcony.
Yeah.
Because now there's four seats left. We'll be waving to you.
Call my people and I'll put you on the guest list.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you, Amy.
All right.
We'll be at the door going,
so much,
Amy, we'll be at the door, Amy, saying, her people said to call.
Yes, she said. Don't you know us?
Thanks,
if you need me, I'm out. I'm usually unloading the van.
All right. I'll help. I will help.
Find me.
All right.
Thanks, Amy.
All right.
Have a great night. Get some rest.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
She said y'all to us.
I know. We got y'all.
I got y'all. More in a moment on 720 WGN. It was Amy Ray.